When Freedom Was Anarchy. It's the title of tonight's message, taken from Judges chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. Verse 10 to 12 says, "Then there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forsook the Lord of their fathers and followed other gods and of the gods of the people that were round about them and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger." We have two thoughts for our consideration: examining Israel's failure and disobedience and its consequences. When the works of God is not rehearsed for the next generation, the word of God is not taught and exemplified for the next generation, there will arise a new generation who is oblivious of her spiritual heritage and inheritance. The conclusion is that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Joshua and the elders who outlived Joshua were dead and buried. The legacy they left behind were clean forgotten by the new generation. What happened? Well, we shall try to examine what happened. Why did they fail? Firstly, we notice that their forefathers failed to separate from the evil that was in the land. God, through his word and through his servant Moses, repeatedly warned the people from the incursions of their associations with them. And therefore, we can see when they fail to separate themselves, they failed in a personal way, and as a nation, the Lord was not pleased. Israel was to make no alliance with the inhabitants of the land, and they are to destroy all the altars of idolatrous worship for the sake of their purity. You see, when the influence comes, it hits the mind and it affects the heart. And when the seed of evil is being sown, it will germinate itself, just like a parasite in your body, just like unwanted substances that you may have consumed, and they stay in your body, the toxins, and they cause great havoc to what happened, to what is going on inside your body. Well, the word of God says that they have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, and the rebuke came through the angel of the Lord. And secondly, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. They served Baalim. So firstly, they did not separate themselves. Secondly, they went after the pagan gods of the land, which God had told them specifically how it is so dangerous for them. And when they bowed themselves to them, they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. We are exhorted, as we have mentioned in our earlier message, to be holy because God is holy. The tribes of Israel failed to destroy the idolatrous nations as instructed by the Lord. The idolatrous influences of the remnant nations were too overwhelming for the weak faith of this new generation. So you see that the faith of this new generation was not able to resist, withstand the onslaught of the enemy. The failure to obey God's instructions fully results in utter failure in just one generation. How difficult it is to build and how easy it is to destroy. You just need a few and it tears down the whole body. One little disobedience leads to another. When it is allowed a little sin to fester in our heart, the disease spreads and infects the entire body. And we have seen the evidences of Israel's downfall. And so we must learn so that we do not make the same mistakes. In verse 19 of chapter 1, we saw that they did not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. This referred to the tribe of Judah. God had promised to help them against their enemies. The Lord says, when thou goest out to battle against thy enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Why were they not standing up by faith against their enemies in the strength of the Lord? You see, when faith is waning, and faith has to be cultivated, it takes time, it takes patience, it takes much self-examining for the spirit to work, for faith to grow in the heart of a man. And this process cannot be, we say, shortcut, no easy way. We go through the lessons of faith through times of tribulation, and we learn. The children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. And so you see here, they time and again did not obey the specific instruction of the Lord. They smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let the man and all his family, they let go the man and all his family. God said that he must not leave behind any of this man who practice idolatry, because they would bring them down, pull them away. And that is a stark reality that the Lord warned them. And sometimes we may not see and may not understand, but you see, God repeats them over and over again. And the sad part, perhaps, is this, that perhaps there was not a warning that came to this generation, or perhaps the generation before. So that by the time it came to this new generation, there was already a time lapsed. Precious time has been lost. And precious time to build up the faith. And because those times were lost, therefore, when the attack comes, when the challenge comes, when the trial comes, they were unable to hold. Just like the seed that the sower sowed that were on stony ground. When the sun comes and the scourge came, because it had no strong root, it was not able to withstand the scourge of the trial. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants, but the Canaanites continued to dwell in the land. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites. Zebulun, the same. the Canaanites dwelled among them. Asher did not drive out the inhabitants. They did not drive them out. The Canaanites dwelled among the people of Naphtali. The Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains. So the enemy, when they became strong, they began to overrun the people of God. That's where, you see, if we do not deal with sin in our lives, when the temptation comes, we realize that we have no strength because we haven't gone there how to resist battle. It's a spiritual battle that we have to learn, engaged in, wage. You haven't gone there, we don't know how. And so the children of Israel failed in that sense. A holy life is not a static or gloomy or solitary life, but a life regulated by divine truth and faithful in Christian duty. It is living above the world while we are still in it. So our series, Staying on Higher Ground. Why do we need to stay on higher ground? Well, because we are a heavenly people. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians tells us we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. So whenever you have problems, well, where are you looking from when you are seeking to resolve the problems that you have? You are seated with Christ in heaven. You are looking down. You are not looking up. Because you are there already as a heavenly people, seated with Christ. You see, the trouble we have is that we are still very earthbound, so we look up. No. We are there seated with Christ, as Paul says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, looking down, a heavenly people, with the power of Christ, power of God empowering us. Therefore, we have that power to live above the world. So holiness is not an exemption from conflict, but victory through conflict. Victory to conflict. Israel is to conquer. They are to wage war against the enemy. What are the enemies? Well, the flesh that is in us, the world that is encroaching upon us, and Satan, the infernal foe, seeking to incite, put a match, and light the fire. Well, this was a description of how Israel failed. And why is it that they were disobedient? And what are its consequences? Well, you see, they were pushed into, they were led into, they were brought into this practice of demonic and licentious worship. Baal worship was a combination of sexual activity and human sacrifice. The inhabitants of that area of the world were farmers and herdsmen. Their income and livelihood were tied to the land, whether they were Canaanites or Israelites. So the most important thing to all the people were fertility. And if we go after the God of this world, you realize that underneath the profit, underneath the gain, are the dark powers there, leer and waiting to entrap the innocent. Well, the foolish. And therefore, the people of God must be wise. We are exhorted to be wise. Baal means Lord, and Baalim, the Lord's. Baal was a god of storm and fertility, and his picture as a riding on a bull, one of the Canaanite symbols of fertility. The Lord wants us to see and understand, right, the spiritual symbols behind those things that we see in the world. Why do the people go after these things? Well, behind it, there's a spiritual connotation. There's a spiritual power, darkness that is behind it. If we don't know, if we are not acquainted and be taking time to study the Word of God, we don't understand. But if we do, then the Spirit of God will prompt us of the danger, prompt us of where these things will lead us. And the children were to be offered without display of emotions, and otherwise sacrifice was worthless. Ashtaroth was the goddess, Canaanite goddess of regeneration and fertility. She was also a goddess of war. Temple prostitution was a widespread practice, and one of is thoroughly degrading, and also intermarriages that led to formal recognition of the gods and gradual infiltration of pagan ideas into the community of Israel. Right from the beginning, this was the problem. And right from the beginning, the Lord warned them. If you read the book of Leviticus, read the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy, you would see so many warnings that the Lord gave. What was the message of the angel from Gilgal to Bochim? Gilgal was Israel's first camping place after crossing the land, the Jordan River. And here, they erected two memorial stones taken from the bed of Jordan, circumcised the males, and kept the Passover for the first time. For the new generation that grew up in the wilderness, Gilgal means rolled away. The act of circumcision symbolized the removal of the reproach from the people of Israel. Israel was a special people set apart by God as his living witnesses on earth, set apart unto holiness. And Bochim means whipping. For the angel of the Lord announced God's chastisement for their selective obedience. Selective obedience. Certain things they would choose to obey. If it pleases them, it doesn't please them, they would say, forget it. This is a place of failure and defeat. Be warned that selective or incomplete obedience is disobedience in the sight of God. The Israelites in the time of the Judges paid heavily for their disobedience. Noel Crossy said, well, it is the old story of marrying a drunkard to reform him. Marrying a drunkard to reform him. Israel was united with the Canaanites and degenerated to the level of worship of lust practiced by the heathen. Like the Chinese saying, if you cut the grass without weeding out the root, the wind blow, the next season, the grass grows again. And it grows in more lush, in greater form. This was the warning that God gave. As the children of God, we have been freed from the bondage of sin. We are free not to sin. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us to help us to choose not to sin, guided by the Word of God. However, when we abuse this freedom and choose to live an unrestrained life, our life degenerates into a state of anarchy or chaos. So, there's someone who said, why Christian life so restrictive? This thing cannot, that thing cannot. Well, because that is dangerous and that is fire. You touch it, you get burned by it. So what were the consequences of their disobedience? These were given by the angel of the Lord. In Judges 2, verse 3, wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. Sin pays. It pays in remorse, regret, and failure. The children of Israel lifted up their voices and wept upon receiving the pronouncement of God's judgment upon them. It results in much sorrow. The wages of sin is death, and safety is in absolute separation from even the appearance of evil. The word of God is given to protect our souls from the wickedness of this world. It's like the traffic rules. As a motorist, observing traffic rules means to stop when the light turns amber and finally red to allow pedestrians to cross. The law protects the users. The pedestrian, therefore, cross the road in safety. Similarly, when we fail to avoid the pitfalls of life taught to us in the scriptures, we are, as it were, blown up by the mines in the minefields of this wicked world, like in a war zone. Perhaps a hand or leg is blown off, causing a lifetime of disability and regret. So holiness is not the inability to sin, but the ability not to sin. Not that we cannot sin, but God gives us that power to choose not to sin. We have that power. God has given it to us through the Spirit of God. And the freedom that we have as born-again Christians is within the boundaries of God's Word. The Word of God sets the boundary for our protection, just like our parents set the curfew hours when we are not to come home after a certain time. When we obey, we are protected. When we disobey, we expose ourselves to the dangers of this wicked world, waiting to devour our very souls. Remember what the Lord said to Israel before they entered the promised land? Israel was exhorted to obey the law of God, for this is their wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations. Is it possible to be in the world and not of the world? Well, we say, staying on higher ground. It is possible. The only way is we practice biblical separation, separation unto holiness. And our study shows that it is not possible to coexist with the evil world. It will devour us. You cannot coexist. You think that you would be strong enough, I know enough. No. So you said, I want to go and find out about this, find out about that. I'm curious. I want to know how evil is that evil so that I may have the strength to tell others. You realize that when you go into it, before you know it, you are trapped yourself. And how dangerous it is. And so here, how does God protect His people? Well, God protected Israel when they were in Egypt by putting them in Goshen. Right? Goshen was like a spiritual bubble. You know, they were far away in the sense they were in a protected enclave that allowed them to grow. Separation unto holiness. So our study shows that it's not possible to coexist with the evil world. It will devour us. The only remedy is in separating ourselves from these evil influences. And you see, the encroachment is very real. It comes to us in a very powerful way. Influences from people, friends, colleagues in the workplace, schoolmates, people that we meet. The only remedy is to separate ourselves from these evil influences. There's a need to build a core group of like-minded friends of the same faith, to encourage one another, and for mentors and friends of accountability, whom we can go for support, guidance when we are tempted to fall away. How important it is. And the world out there is an evil world. We are living today in the last hours of history before the return of our Lord and Savior. As in the days of Noah, unbelief was prevalent throughout the world. Only his own family was spared the destruction of the deluge of the global flood when they hid themselves in the ark, which they labored to prepare for years before the flood came. The world is reserved for judgment by fire. And the only safety is in Jesus. Only Jesus is able to save us. And if we know it, then we would flee to him and we would hide ourselves and cleanse by his blood. And so how can we separate ourselves from sin unto holiness? Cultivating a habit of mind of loving what God loves and hating what God hates. Measuring everything in this world by the standard of God's word. So we need to know God's word. That's why we advocate to read the Bible in 1 year. If we don't know God's word is just something that, you know, we have our Bible put on the shelf and we bring it out here and there, and we are not really serious about our spiritual life, about protecting ourselves, and then no wonder we fall and shun every known sin and to keep every known commandment. A holy child of God will follow after temperance and self-denial, laboring to crucify his flesh with his affections and his lusts, and to curb his passions, restrain his carnal inclinations, lest at any time they break loose. To study, meditate, understand, apply God's word in our lives. Do we have this resolve? Can we make this resolve? Unless we are resolute. You see, the generation failed because they were not resolute. They thought that the enemy was, they were able to withstand the enemy with their weak faith. They cannot. They failed miserably. And we thank God that the Lord has written his word so that we may learn precious lessons, so that in our own lives we will be protected. May the Lord strengthen his people with a resolve to follow him. Let us pray. Father, we ask that thou be gracious to strengthen us by thy Holy Spirit and grant to us understanding and thy peace and joy in following thee, in obeying thy word for our eternal blessing and comfort. Strengthen us. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.